holy Jesus, meek and mild? I think not. Exodus 24 gives us a statement that most of us gloss over. But here today on Abounding Grace, Pastor Chris Gordon reminds us that He is the Lord. He changes not. The message is called Beware of the Angel. And indeed, God in Exodus 24 tells the Israelites that the angel will go before them. But you better listen to him, because if you don't, your sins won't be forgiven. That's right. Pretty stern warning from the angel of the Lord. We'll take a look at it in depth here today on Abounding Grace. Join us, won't you? Again, Exodus 24, verses 1 through 18. Here's Pastor Chris and today's program.
Be careful, pay attention to him and obey his voice. Do not rebel against him, for he will not pardon your transgressions. It seems to me very clear as we're looking at this, and this has been generally received, that you have already met this angel back in chapter 3 when he met Moses in the burning bush. And the burning bush, it was, as that construction we looked at so long ago from Exodus chapter 3, the angel that is Yahweh. He appeared to Moses and said, I am promising to go with you. That was Moses' great concern. I will go with you. I'm going to bring you there. And so I don't think we're wrong to say that we have here, as has been concluded by many, the pre-incarnate Christ, who had come among them in a pillar of fire and protected them through the sea, that Christ was already promising and teaching them of his work of deliverance. That means that when they were pulled out of Egypt, when they were brought out of bondage, the whole truth of the Christian gospel that we celebrate today was unfolding before their eyes. And we've looked at this. We've studied this. We've been studying this now for some time. The Lord had freed them from bondage and slavery in Egypt. He had put on display his power over that wicked tyrant, that Antichrist figure. They sat there and watched the Lord rain down all kinds of powerful plagues upon them, delivering them from the hands of the Egyptians with signs and wonders. He shook the most powerful nation on the face of the earth, blew them over like it was nothing, drowned Pharaoh and his captains right in the heart of the Red Sea, passed them right through the Red Sea on dry land. They sang a victory song. This is the story of the life, death, and resurrection of Christ, passing through death, coming out on the other side. We've looked at all this, and then entering in the wilderness life of sanctification. Moses could say, as they were at the Red Sea, stand still and look at the salvation of the Lord. Study it. Watch this. This is the gospel. This is the story. This is the single story of the Bible. He opened the Red Sea, and he presented two massive, remember, columns that came down and shielded them and protect them, bringing them through, washed and baptized, as Paul would say in 1 Corinthians 10, as God's people. Well, then we come to chapter 19 after a whole series of grumbling and complaining of events. And the Lord comes down on Sinai and makes this covenant with them. And so now as we come to verse 21, think about this verse. Beware of him. Obey his voice. Do not provoke him, for he will not pardon your transgressions. What? How easy is it to pass over that? Maybe because I want to. What a statement, huh? Obey him. Listen to that voice. For if you don't, no forgiveness. Wow. And if you do that, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. For my angel will go before you and bring you to the Amorites, and bring you into the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. I will cut them off. So the Lord enters into this covenant he's doing here with Israel. Blood is about to be sprinkled on the people. Blood. And he would fight for them. He would go before them as is the sovereign Lord. But they were to remain absolutely loyal to him. So you'll notice, I'll drive them out. But you on your part, here are the covenant obligations. Here are the stipulations for you. You must be obedient. I will be faithful to my promises, but here's your obligations. And if not, curses fall on you. So what were they to do? Well, verse 24 tells us they were to avoid all idolatry. No idolatry in their life. They were not to bow down to any of the Canaanite gods. Now get the command. All along the angel would leave them and drive out the nations. Remember what the Lord said, if you obey and keep my covenant in chapter 19, you will be a special treasure to me in all the earth. And they said, all that the Lord has spoken will do. Here is this angel, and is this presence, what kind of presence is it? It seems to me that the presence was a terrifying presence because it comes with the announcement, if you don't obey him, beware of him. Beware of him. So they had to honor the law of God. They had to not worship any other gods, fleeing all idolatry. And of course, we're reading this knowing the whole story. We're not even going to get off the mountain and they got a massive idol they're holding up and worshiping. You shall surely overthrow them, verse 24, all the nations, and completely break down their sacred pillars. So you shall serve, worship the Lord. And if you do that, here's what God will do. Here's what God's going to do for you. He'll bless your bread and your water. The sickness is all going to be removed from you. Whoa. Imagine, no more prayer requests from the pulpit. This would be awesome, wouldn't it? No one's going to suffer a miscarriage or barren in the land. I'll fulfill the number of your days. Notice this, no one, all. Notice this language here. This is remarkable. You ready to step up to that deal? Keeps going. Confusion would fall on your enemies. The Lord says, I'll send hornets on them. Man, I'd love to see that. Hornets. Little by little, I'll drive them out from before you until you have increased and inherited the lands. Bounds will be set up from the Red Sea, from the Sea of Philistia, from the desert to the river. Now listen carefully. For I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and you shall drive them out from before you. You got to go get them. I want them purged. It's your responsibility to cleanse the land. Conquer paradise. Israel may and will make a formal pledge before God to do this, by the way. And if they did that, all the blessings they would receive. And if they didn't do that, all the curses would fall. You shall not, just listen to this for a minute. You shall not worship their gods. You shall not worship them, serve them, nor do according to their deeds. You shall utterly overthrow them, break their sacred pillars in pieces, but you shall worship and serve the Lord your God only. They were required to completely and utterly cleanse the land. Now, I don't like having everyone turn everywhere in the course of the sermon. But every now and then, there's a really important time to do that. And this is one of those really important times. And it makes sure nobody's sleeping, right? So everyone should turn to Judges chapter 2. And it's not because I saw anyone sleeping that I said that. Judges chapter 2. Look at verse, chapter 1 ends with a whole list of nations that Israel did not drive out. But then I want you to listen to this. Then the angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I led you from Egypt, and I brought you to the land of which I swore to your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. Now stop. Now, when they got to the border of the land, this angel, the Lord, showed up. Joshua, remember, saw him. It came to pass when Joshua, this is a different passage, was by Jericho, that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him and with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went with him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? So he said, no, but as a commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. See, promise is now being fulfilled of what was promised. I send him before you. Here he is. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said, what does my Lord say to his servant? Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take your sandal off your foot. Sounds familiar because it's Exodus 3 with Moses. For the place where you stand is holy. Joshua did so. He was going before them, and dread fell on all the people. Rahab, all hearts melted, she said, when we saw you coming. Remember that? Joshua ends the book and says this. So the Lord gave to Israel all the land which he had sworn to give to their fathers. They took possession of it, and they dwelled in it. The Lord gave them rest all around according to all that he had sworn to their fathers. Not a man of all their enemies stood against them, for the Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. Not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass. He didn't break one bit of his word. Back to Judges. Then the angel of the Lord came from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I led you from Egypt and brought you to the land of which I swore to your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And you shall make no covenant with the inhabitants of this land. You shall tear down their altars. Ready? But you have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Therefore, I also said, I will not drive them out before you, but they shall be thorns in your side, and their God shall be a snare to you. So it was when the angel of the Lord spoke these words to all the children of Israel that the people lifted up their voices and wept. Then they called the name of that place Bochim, and they sacrificed there to the Lord. Then verse 11. Here's the shock. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt. They followed other gods from among the gods of the people who were all around them, and they bowed down to them, and they provoked the Lord to anger. They forsook, verse 13, the Lord, and served the Baals and the Asherahs. Old covenant. Did they fulfill their part? Nope. Now, do you understand why Paul calls it a ministry of death? Are you seeing the bigger picture here? Cursed is the man who does not continue to do all things written in the book of the law to do them. He puts that right in Galatians 3. It was the principle. They were uprooted from the land, weren't they? Don't you have a whole story of the sad, tragic nation of Israel in the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom being uprooted? Look at the history. Look at the history of the nation of Israel to this day. Paul tells us it's meant to teach you something about human righteousness. It's meant to. That's the purpose. So that the mouth of the whole world would be stopped when we study the nation of Israel. And so God had put Israel under the law to stop the mouth. And the Lord, here in the midst of this, was teaching about his faithfulness to preserve the remnant and keep a people to himself and save a remnant in the land. And you say, why? Well, God's standard doesn't change. The tragic thing today is that, you know, we teach all the time. I hear this, and this has been a sort of lingering statement I've heard in Reformed churches, that the basis for remaining in God's covenant, and this is where you get a little bit confused because you're not sure ultimately what you're talking about at that point. The covenant is upon us fulfilling our side of the covenant. And so then we really struggle. And this is why I think we get a lot of people on our deathbeds who are unsure whether they've done enough to get into glory. Think about this problem. Well, we can preach the gospel our lives and we've told people, and then you get to their deathbed and they're worried about their works. What? Have we not been clear on this? We say, well, as in a covenant, there are two sides, and you need to keep yours through obedience. Well, we need to be very careful in how we explain this and how the New Testament describes the obedience and the fulfilling of all righteousness. The New Testament writers are constantly telling us how much more glorious the new covenant is. It's a ministry of righteousness. It's, in other words, ministering to you righteousness. Now, that angel becomes incarnate. This is the message. That angel there becomes incarnate. Why did he need to become incarnate? That's the Heidelberg Catechism tonight. Why can't we just have anyone do this? Because nobody can keep their side of the covenant. That's the problem. So he becomes incarnate. And now you understand what Hebrews is telling us. You don't want to go back because it's presenting to you a complete Savior. And why do you need a Savior? Well, this is what Hebrews tells us. He was obedient all the way to the point of death. Whoa. So when you get to say, what did Jesus do for you? Don't just say, he died for me. He was obedient for me. That's awesome. Christ became Israel for you. Think about it. Behold, I send my angel to keep you in the place and to bring you into the land I prepared. Well, God not only sent his beloved son to us, but the difference is that he took it upon himself in the new covenant. Think about it. This is why he says, this is the new covenant in my blood, which was promised to Abraham. He took it upon himself to be placed under the law. Now the angel's under the law. And to fulfill all its obligations for you. In other words, he made the promises, and now he becomes the one to fulfill them. Because of our failure. Because you can't do it. Now, is that not the most exciting message to hear? It goes back to this morning of the disciples where they want to talk about their greatness, don't they? They want to talk about, after Jesus had just talked about his cross, they want to go and talk about their greatness. They are so wired for works. They are so wired to get out there and be great themselves. It is so hard for us. He lived the life, and he lived the life of Israel for you. Immediately cast out into the wilderness, overcame every temptation of the devil, every temptation that Israel had faced. If you trace those three temptations in the wilderness that are put in the Gospels, they're the same temptations you can pull right out of Exodus that Israel faced. He overcame them. He beat Satan for you. And then he goes through the land and he conquers it. What have you seen him doing in Mark? Conquering the land, casting out demons, ruling over that realm, and cleansing the land, casting out demons, defeating the devil on the cross. I mean, the cross was the great event where the New Testament will say he disarmed him. And rising the third day, he paid for all of our failures and entered into the heavenly land to sanctify us through the offering up, says Hebrews, of his body. That's why we call it a covenant of grace. That's why we call it a covenant of grace. So that the message that was preached to Abraham and was preached to Israel, this is so important. This message was preached to Israel. That righteousness only comes by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And because he came to do this, the shadow of his work is true, that God sent his son to keep us and to bring us into the place that he prepared because he came under the law to fulfill it. And then think about the glory of John 14. He's on the earth and he's saying, I'm going away, but guess what? I'm coming back to get you and take you to the land. So today, it's not an if-then kind of arrangement, is it? It's not if you obey his voice, you'll not. If you don't obey his voice, you will not be forgiven. It's if you hear his voice, believe in him. It's faith. And if you say, well, don't we have any responsibilities in this? Yes, faith, believe, and even that's a gift of God. Not of works, so that no man may boast. Faith. Turn and believe. And this new covenant is so glorious because guess what? I'll remember your sins no more. I'll remember your sins no more. He mediates these blessings to us, not contingent upon our keeping of the law, but because he crawled down himself and became one of us when we couldn't. That's the difference between the old and the new. And even then, it's not that the old, they didn't know this message. They heard it. The ministry of the Spirit, though, today is to minister to you righteousness and to learn from the nation of Israel that we don't do what they did. And this is just down to its practical level, beloved. When you go to talk to someone and you talk to them about Jesus and believing, and when they rehearse for you all the good they've done and think they're going to enter into glory, this big story of the Bible is tonight, don't do that Israel tried it. Let me show you what Israel did and where they ended up. That's the big story. That's the big message that we shouldn't miss. And now as we go through the wilderness, we strive, we fight against all these evil principalities and powers. But you notice in the New Covenant that he's always telling us to put on Christ's armor, to go in the strength of the Lord, the power of his might. The victory belongs to him. And the beauty of the New Covenant is by the means of the Spirit working and by in great strength, that victory he gives us through the person and the work of Jesus. Think about this statement. For although we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. We press forward looking unto Jesus, don't we? Who is, says Hebrews, the author and the perfecter of our faith, the finisher of our faith, who has already gone before us, completed the work, sat down at the right hand of God on the majesty on high, and has promised to come again and take us to be with him. That gives you every motivation now to go and do good. That gives you every motivation now to go and be who you are in Christ. That gives you every motivation to do all kinds of good works in the course of your life and to fight, because the victory is yours and it's been won in him. And so I encourage all of you this week to think upon these things. Think upon the cross, as we were challenged this morning, the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus as you go out into your week. And whatever you face, remember, he fought and won, and now you go striving, knowing that your power and strength is in him. He is your head. Let's pray to him together tonight. Gracious Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the grace that you give to us and teach us the big story. That these blessings received by faith alone in Christ, we have everything that we need to stand before you. And this is the message of Scripture. Keep us from trying to establish our own righteousness and help us to understand the whole story of the Scriptures. That we, Lord, would give glory to you in our life, and that we would understand and believe in the cross of Christ for us and the resurrection. And now as we carry ours, to know that we belong in body, in soul, in life, and in death to our faithful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who became obedient for us all the way to death and paid the price. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And this is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Closing out today's program, we invite you to contact us. Maybe you have a question, comment about the program. Maybe you'd like to listen to the broadcast again. Any reason at all, we'd love to hear from you, even if it's just a quick praise report saying thanks for the program. That means a great deal to us. You reach out to us at agradio.org or call 888-504-8805. Now, bear in mind, as you visit us online, again, agradio.org, that'll also provide a great jumping-off point to the other platforms that we're available on, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Again, you can jump off to any of those platforms through our website, agradio.org. If you do have a question you would like Pastor Chris to address here on the program, we would invite you to use your voice memo app on your smartphone. Record your question, your name, and where you're calling from, and then email it to us, questions@agradio.org. If we use your question on the air, we'll email you back and let you know when the program airs, so you'll be able to listen to Pastor Chris's answer again right here on Abounding Grace Radio. And then, finally, as we conclude our time today, a quick reminder that this radio broadcast airs on this station you're listening to because friends of the ministry come alongside of us prayerfully and financially. There is a financial cost to making sure that these programs continue to air here on this station. And if you would like to link arms and partner with us, become a part of this family, we would love to hear from you. Again, reach out to us at agradio.org or simply call 888 504-8805. Well, we look forward to seeing you next time we get together. Until then, God bless. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, I'm Chris Gordon, the host of Abounding Grace Radio. I'm also the pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you are local to Southern California and live near the Escondido area, we would love to see you at one of our worship services on Sunday.
That's right, Chris, we would. And our worship services, because of the heat and earlier darkness, begin 9:30 for the morning service and 3 p.m. for the evening service. And both are held under the tent at Calvin Christian. Well, here's Pastor Chris once again. If you'd like to know more, with information on how to reach out to us,
you can find us on the web at www.escondidourc.org. EscondidoURC.org. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.